Hello, this is a show from Radio. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners.
Delta to Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond.
Delta to Yankee, Delta to Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Are you up for it?
Xin thông báo, xin mời những hành khách cuối cùng đi Hồ Chí Minh đi trên chuyến bay VG149 khẩn trương tới cửa số 5 để khởi hành. Xin cảm ơn.
This is announcement of VJet. This is the last call for passengers on flight
VJ149 to Ho Chi Minh.
Please immediately proceed at gate number
5
for boarding.
Ho Chi Minh City, 9 million people and 7.4 million motorbikes. It takes an hour to wend our way the 7 kilometers from the airport to the hotel in the late afternoon traffic. Around us, the motorcycles, mopeds and even more motorcycles swarm, loaded with extended families and curious cargoes, moving with the logic of a running river, exploiting any weakness in the terrain to forge a new stream. Fleeting impressions through the taxi window. Two young men sit surrounded by sunflowers, snipping the ends of stalks, chatting languorously. Three schoolboys run down the road playing with a sheet of sky blue plastic. They trap the weakest of them under it momentarily, playfully, then let him out, running down the street flapping their newfound flag. Small dogs dressed in baby clothes, adept at dodging the traffic. Motorcycles and mopeds and more motorcycles. The city does sleep, briefly, but awakens punctually each sunrise to the call and response of unseen roosters perched on balconies and rooftops.
Thank you.
maintain a steady pace. Don't stop, don't run, don't hesitate. And whatever you do, don't step backwards. We are afraid to cross the road, but don't hold hands. If one falters, the confusion could be fatal. Ho Chi Minh Fine Arts Museum, a once decadent three-winged villa built by a French architect for a local merchant family. Each three-storied building graced with shuttered balconies that block out the high sun, but allow the city din of traffic and roosters and sparrows to come in on the breeze. Access to the dim rooms of silks and woodblocks, watercolours and lacquers, is via ornate spiral staircases. The rooms hum with fans and overworked dehumidifiers. The art housed is dark and gentle, both resigned and resilient, of peasant and political life portrayed as folklore. The walls peel, and pigeons roost somewhere on the top floor. Behind the Ho Chi Minh Post Office, with a spindly radio tower designed by Mr. Eiffel, a pedestrian lane, an oasis of quiet, overshadowed by trees and lined with bookshops. Strange how bookshops breed a peaceful and contemplative air. Is this the calmest place in Ho Chi Minh City? It seems to be a prime location for amateur models dressed in modern variations of the traditional Ai Dao to have their photos taken, lounging on steps and leaping through texts, offering various takes on the demure intellectual and the steamy seductress. I feel wistful around bookshops in foreign countries. All those words that are not for me, those stories to which I am denied access. But I know that this is a typically selfish desire for a speaker of the world's most colonizing and capitalizing language. But I do wonder what will happen to these places of calm and culture when the book, as an object, disappears eventually. In this week before Tet, the shop fronts are guarded by small flowering trees decorated in ribbons and paper tokens. The most prized are kumquat trees, especially those that bear flowers and fruit simultaneously. In the south, there is also the yellow mai, the yellow apricot bush, fabled to be the incarnation of a young huntress who slayed monsters and in turn was slayed, and is now only allowed to visit the earthly realm for the new year. A winding road into the mountains at dusk in a minibus angrily driven. Then a sudden city of lights, streets draped in rainbow luminescence. Dalat was built as a resort town by the French, planned around a faux Alpen lake. Crowning its hilltops are blue and pink neon temples of coffee and karaoke, slurry pop voices bouncing around the valleys. We stay up in the hills, in a villa built on an impossible slope. On the sides of the dusty roads are rows of styrofoam boxes overflowing with lushly growing lettuce, bok choy, choy sum. Our view is of a construction rubbish dump and a small farm with a greenhouse glowing golden yellow day and night, the flowers apparently afraid of the dark. Dalat is the flower capital of Vietnam. On the drive in, we saw a bus groaning full, not of passengers, but burning bright chrysanthemums poking through the half-open windows. In the morning, I open our window to an acousmatic concert of pigs, roosters, dogs, cows. And a strange whooping call of a creature I can't identify. Vietnam honours four sacred animals, the dragon, the phoenix, the black tortoise, and the quillen. An animal perhaps best described as a kind of unicorn. Perhaps it is a Quillen I hear hiding in the shadowy hills behind the rubbish dump. On our last morning, the girl at the villa's reception cradles a tiny, terrified puppy. She says she found it in a pile of rubbish on the side of the road. She doesn't know how to look after a dog, but she will look it up. When we leave, she waves us off and tells us dreamily that we make a wonderful couple. So gentle, she says, so in love. The Truklam Pagoda. Is it as disrespectful to record the sound of the gong as it feels to photograph the scene? And in the process, is it thus disrespectful to record the Russian tour guide and the screaming child and the power tool and the rustle of Velcro from camera bags? The syllable spect within respect is the same as in spectate, spectacle. Respectus, via Old French and thus Latin, is the action of looking back, to regard, re-see. And somehow this looking back requires reverence. This implication of the scene within respect, does it let listening off the hook? Before we leave, we watch all 17 and a quarter hours of Ken Burns' documentary, The Vietnam War. It's amazing how a country can move on from such horror. And it is constantly humbling to be in the presence of such forgiveness. Forgiveness towards us and each other. In Hanoi's Tan Long Citadel, we visit the secret war bunker, where the People's Army of Vietnam leaders met and planned operations. I try to record the room. The wood panel walls seem to vibrate with tension and the burden of their secrets. Like Ballard's sound sweep, I scan for traces, try to capture the psychic hum. Other people wander in. Some respect the ineffable residue, while others spectate and narrate. Is it simply that listening requires more time, requires a sense of being truly present, and that this offers more opportunity for connection, contemplation? Or am I telling myself convenient truths to excuse my oral ghoulishness, to separate myself from the tourists?
One met, two meta, you go one cap, two cap.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. No low, no low, low.
Too low, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But we are tourists. We even surprise ourselves and take a package day trip to Ha Long Bay, where each activity is strictly planned and scheduled. The bus trip, the ferry, the bamboo boat, the hidden caves. The disturbing thing about travel is that we can never know, really know the world through which we fleetingly pass. No matter how many pictures we take, or how many sounds we sample. Tip the driver, the tour guide, the boatman. We pay to watch. To watch and listen. This sonorism, this oral voyeurism that I perpetrate, while it is still a furtive listening in, an overhearing, it does require a leaning in, a going towards. And perhaps most important of all, it requires my silence so that others may be heard.
Thank you.
End of transmission. Find us on the internet, radia.fm. Over and out.